Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I used to have parishioners who worked in blue-collar jobs, and one of the things they liked to joke about was when OSHA showed up. Often they were amused by the degree to which OSHA would try and meddle in the affairs of them just doing their jobs safely. Of course, their own self-interest would be that they would do their jobs as safely as possible. And a lot of times you got the impression that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration knew better. Well, the real question now is not whether OSHA knows better for the American public in every workplace of over 100 employees, but do they even have the authority to do what President Biden has told OSHA it should do, and that is enforce his vaccine mandates for all employers over 100 employees through that private employer. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and vaccine mandates, Paul Larkin Jr. He's Senior Legal Research Fellow in the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He has a law degree from Stanford University, and he's author of a column for The Federalist titled, Here's Why OSHA Has No Legal Power to Enforce a Vaccine Mandate. Paul, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Where do matters stand now with President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate?
Well, there are legal and practical answers to that question. Legally, the issue is now before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. It will decide the merits of the appeals, and it could also lift the stay that has been imposed to date. The fact the government has asked the Sixth Circuit to lift the stay, so we'll have to see what happens in that regard. As a practical matter, however, if the Sixth Circuit upholds OSHA's authority to do this, the government can immediately demand that everyone comply, which means they'll have only a limited number of hours, perhaps as few as three, to supply all the information the government wants, which means, unfortunately, businesses are going to have to start collecting this information right now.
Some have asserted that Supreme Court cases Jacobson v. Massachusetts and then about a decade or so later, Zucht v. King, regarding smallpox vaccinations, are enough legal justification for the COVID vaccine mandates in the workplace. Is this true?
No, it's not true. Those cases upheld the constitutionality of legislative judgments that a smallpox or other types of vaccinations are necessary. The problem here is that OSHA has no authority to issue this mandate. Agencies have only the authority Congress gives them. That's quite clear. Everyone across the board would agree to that. And if Congress hasn't given an agency authority, it can't impose requirements on private parties. Besides, there's no department of making life better without leaving anyone behind. There's a Department of State, Justice, and Labor. And Labor has a center called OSHA. But only the authority Congress has given the Department of Labor and OSHA is authority they can exercise. Congress has never, ever allowed OSHA or the Department of Labor to impose a vaccination requirement. And you know the simple reason why? If you look at the OSHA statutes, they don't use the word vaccine or any derivative, or immune or any derivative. Yet every one of the 50 states requires students receive vaccinations or be immunized in order to attend school. And those were the terms used in the case you mentioned, Jacobson. So if Congress had wanted to give OSHA this authority, it easily could have done so by putting those terms in the statute. But they're not there. Congress, in fact, has always treated vaccinations like medical decisions, which they are. And anybody in the federal government who would have this authority would be either the Food and Drug Administration or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they don't have it. And the administration knows they don't have it because if they did have it, the president would have ordered the FDA or CDC to impose this mandate. But he didn't.
Others cite the vaccine requirements employed by the U.S. military as justification. How do you respond to that?
Oh, the military is an entirely different sort of community. I mean, George Washington, for example, required that new recruits be vaccinated against smallpox because he couldn't afford to have soldiers fall ill during or on the eve of battle, or even worse, infect everyone else. The president has the inherent authority, by virtue of being commander-in-chief, to order the military to be vaccinated. The Constitution makes him commander-in-chief, and that means he has the authority directly from the Constitution of making sure that the Army and Navy and Air Force and everyone else involved is in shape to protect the nation. He doesn't have any authority of physician-in-chief in the Constitution. There is none. So he can't just go around and say the public has to be in the same medical condition as soldiers, sailors, Marines, etc. That argument just overlooks 200-plus years of authority.
President Biden announced the emergency vaccine mandates more than 2 months ago, then announced the actual OSHA rules not too long ago, but they don't go into effect apparently until January officially. Is this how the emergency rule system of OSHA is supposed to work?
No. The emergency rule system is designed to empower OSHA to require that businesses immediately protect employees by guaranteeing a safe workplace, which means using various types of safety devices to prevent somebody from slipping and falling or putting their arm into moving parts of a machine, or to wear personal protective equipment, PPE, like gloves, like eyeglasses, like masks, like other items you wear. But those are materially different from vaccines. You can throw away or have washed and cleaned personal protective equipment. At the end of the day, you leave them behind. You don't leave vaccines behind because by definition, they are a different type of mechanism. Personal protective equipment protects individuals by preventing the infiltration of pathogens across the skin or through a body opening. Vaccines work only if you either pierce the skin through a hypodermic needle or give someone a pill of some type. So vaccines are completely different. They are treated as medical decisions, not workplace safety issues.
Go into a little more detail. You have asserted that OSHA does not have the legal authority to force a COVID-19 vaccine on Americans who don't want it. How would you explain that in terms of, as you mentioned before, the legislative foundation for OSHA?
Well, if you look at the statutes that are involved here on which OSHA is relying, they do not use the term vaccine. They do not use the term immune or the derivations of any of those terms. Those are terms that are used to describe medical judgments. And Congress, since the Biologics Control Act of 1902, has designated the medical agencies as responsible for making medical decisions, not OSHA. OSHA is designed to make sure that the workplace is safe. It's designed to make sure that people have adequate personal protective equipment. It's the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that allows the federal government to regulate drugs and biologics, and both of those terms describe what a vaccination is. It is a drug and a biologic. That's within the authority of the FDA, not OSHA. Look at the statutes involved, and it's quite clear.
Does OSHA currently have the manpower to enforce the vaccine mandate as it's being conceived of?
Yes and no. They don't have the number of inspectors necessary to go around and inspect every business in the country. What they're hoping is that employees will dime out employers or other employees, and then they will send inspectors wherever they receive a report that someone is not complying with the mandate.
We're talking with Paul Larkin, Jr., Senior Legal Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, about the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and vaccine mandates. We'll go into a little more detail about how Congress hasn't authorized OSHA to make rules about healthcare decisions for private employees next. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities. OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, November 29th, we're talking about the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and vaccine mandates with Paul Larkin Jr. of the Heritage Foundation. Paul, go into a little more detail. Has Congress in any way authorized OSHA to make rules about health care decisions for private employees?
Well, Congress will allow employers to offer FDA-approved vaccinations to employees. In other words, OSHA has rules dealing with what are called blood-borne pathogens, and OSHA has regs requiring that employers offer those vaccines to employees on a voluntary basis. That's permissible. But what you can't do is force an employee to be vaccinated, or force an employer to demand that an employee be vaccinated, or quit, or be fired. The two are very different in this regard.
You mentioned the Food and Drug Administration. Do the FDA or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have the authority to order the public to be vaccinated?
No. And that's critical in this regard. Those are the agencies that Congress would have empowered to impose a vaccination requirement. They're health agencies, not workplace hazard agencies. And Congress has never empowered either the FDA or CDC to impose a vaccination requirement on anyone.
So what is the Occupational Safety and Health Care Act? We mentioned it earlier. And does the phrase in that act, toxic materials or harmful physical agents, does that include, or was it intended to include, the COVID virus or any virus for that matter?
No. Toxic generally means poisonous. The problem with a virus is not that it's poisonous. It's that it is communicable and replicates itself within the human body. It's not like someone ingesting arsenic. It is the arsenic itself that creates the problem, and arsenic can't be replicated in the human body. Viruses can, like smallpox, like Ebola, like COVID. It's a different creature altogether. Plus, take a look at what Congress has allowed the agencies to do in this response. Congress has allowed agencies to make workplace safety judgments, not medical judgments. Medical judgments are in the hands of the Department of Health and Human Services, the FDA, the CDC, and Congress hasn't given them this authority. What the government is trying to do is take the terms in the statute and reify them to a level that allows them to do anything in the healthcare area that they say might be necessary to prevent some harm from befalling someone. That's not the way Congress legislates. That's not the way it did legislate in this case.
So how does that Occupational Safety and Health Act fit into the framework of federal laws that do directly address viruses?
Well, to the extent protective gear like masks, like gowns, like gloves can be used to help prevent the transmission of a virus, OSHA can require them to be used. But those types of protective measures are materially different from requiring individuals to submit to a vaccination. You can throw away gloves and gowns at the end of the day. You can't throw away T cells. Once the vaccine is in your body, it's there forever. That's a very different consequence than donning safety glasses, wearing gloves, and then taking them off at the end of the day. You don't take off T cells.
The Biden administration is urging businesses to continue to implement the mandates despite OSHA's lack of authority and ability to enforce and the court's decision so far. Should businesses presently feel compelled to comply?
Well, they are compelled as a practical matter, even if not a legal matter. Why? Because if the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the court that will now decide the merits of the issue whether OSHA has this statutory authority, rules that OSHA does, OSHA can immediately demand that employers satisfy the requirements of the mandate, which means provide the government with information about the vaccine status of employees in a very short period of time. So as a practical matter, even if not a legal matter, employers have to start collecting this information now.
Finally, should the Sixth Circuit uphold the objections to the vaccine mandate, what happens next?
Well, the case is likely to wind up in the Supreme Court regardless of what the circuit court says. Whether the Sixth Circuit holds that OSHA has the authority to issue this mandate or doesn't have the authority to issue this mandate, the issue is likely to wind up in the Supreme Court, because whoever loses, whether it's the businesses and citizens and states or the federal government, one is or the other is likely to ask the Supreme Court to take the case. I mean, in fact, that's a near certainty. And the Supreme Court is likely to do it. It's an important enough issue.
Paul Larkin, Jr. is Senior Legal Research Fellow in the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled, Here's Why OSHA Has No Legal Power to Enforce a Vaccine Mandate. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Paul, thank you very much.
The pleasure was all mine.
Dr. David Prentice joins us, Vice President and Research Director of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. We'll talk about advances in scientific knowledge regarding the unborn and legalized abortion next. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.